cast your mind back 7 minutes ago to when you thought the name of the goalie in the Mighty Ducks.
I'm so embarrassed.
It's a Minnesotan accent. It's understandable.
It's not got a particularly strong accent or anything. That was the name I heard when I saw it earlier. I just thought it was Grover all these years.
Yeah.
It was Grover the goalie.
Nope.
Goldberg the goalie is a better joke, sure.
Yeah, it really is. So, hi, hey, hello. This is Talon Lee. He, him.
What a shame. Foxley, she, her, slowly shrinking and turning into a corn cob.
And in the tradition of April being Talon Month, I decided to go back and check out something from my past that my friends were talking about. Because apparently, Disney has decided to put a new TV series based on the Mighty Ducks together and put it up on their streaming service to try and wring just more money.
Are you pleased that we graduated nostalgia? Do you feel thoroughly exploited yet?
I was a Transformers fan. So, that's never gone away.
Well, I'm a Sonic fan.
I'm sorry. This is a place of healing.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. Don't worry.
Yeah. But yeah, we watched The Mighty Ducks, the original 1992 movie with Emilio Estevez and a bunch of people who went on to do other things, but at this point were primarily semi-formed half-actors.
That sure is a movie I had not... Well, 1993 probably, back when you had to wait the better part of a year for movies to come out in Australia.
Yeah, and we didn't see it in a theatre.
Oh, boy. I did, actually. I'm pretty sure. I know I saw
Oh, look at Miss Middle Class.
But you're right, I might have seen this at, like, a forensics time.
I have strong memories of taping this off a Disney kids movie block that happened on a Sunday night while I was at church. Something like that. I think it was that. But yeah, so I didn't have the perfect start of the movie, and I think I missed most of the credits. I would not be allowed to watch the credits because they had devil music.
Oh, don't worry. They interrupt before the guitar can show up.
God.
That's unacceptable, by the way. Disney, what the fuck? Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hooray!
This is just an ordinary blog post, and it's in April, and I give myself license to swear as freely as I want in April.
Well, yeah, but I guess in these blogs.
It's true. Bloggy Waters is, of course, the name that we performed under as a bluegrass band.
Nasty.
But yeah, this movie's not good.
This movie made me aware of nothing so much as, like, every kid's some kids for genre movie, so, I mean, it's gotta be okay for them to be basic as all fuck.
So this movie, for anyone not familiar, the basic plot of The Mighty Ducks is rich asshole, has to coach kids' hockey team, doesn't want to, does bad job, fixes self immediately in one night, does good job. Complications.
Tell him why doesn't coach his hockey?
Because he's a dickhead.
No, it's because of his secret ice hockey trauma.
Oh, yes. Good point. secret ice hockey trauma. Yes. Which they show that in the opening segments. And, like, that's a thing.
They do. It's not a secret in the movie. But, I mean, they're very short run times, so we gotta get that shit out of here fast.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, pacing-wise, this movie's on a rocket for the first two acts.
It has a very long... I guess they just had lots of try-out shots to do.
So, you asked early on, after the... I think the second conversation he has with Charlie, where Charlie's just like, you could be my extra dad!
That was way too soon!
And that, by the way, is just a perfect representation of Charlie's voice. I'm spot on with that one. Because this movie is so shorn of, like, the actual details of horrible things, but also clearly wants to represent that it is related to them somehow. It doesn't say it, but it's just implied that something dark happened there.
I didn't read it as any special bad. I took it as being like a kid level understanding, because I feel like as a kid, I guess I'm probably talking out my ass here. I don't know what it's like to have, but I feel like there's an element of, if you're a kid, it can be nobody's fault and still shit.
Sure. I'm more about the fact that he is mentioned as having left, and there's no mention seeing him sometimes or visiting, which, I don't know, paints more of country western vibe that maybe she killed him, left him in the barn, and set it on fire when she left.
This is Wisconsin, Talon.
It's Minnesota, Fox.
Oh, well. Wisconsin sounds a lot like Minnesota.
Minnesota's near Fargo. They do things with wood chippers up. Anyway.
Fuck is Fargo?
A different movie. We'll watch that another time.
Oh, that's a gotcha. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I was not thinking about the lack of visitation applies. Forgot all about that. I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great if you divorced a guy and you never had to hear from that asshole again?
It's just that the movie is surprisingly dark in what it was out. Like, Gordon acts as if him doing community service is this dreadful injustice. He was drink driving. And then at the court, they mentioned it's the 12th time.
It's kind of I had very fuzzy. I remembered that he was there for himself, but I thought he'd actually caused an accident or gotten somebody injured or something at the beginning. And I forgot entirely that it was just, he just, he sped and then mouthed us up.
And it's not even at a time when he did something. It wasn't he just had a terrible day, so it's this one-off drinking. Or that he even had a particularly good day, because he'd gone into the, the cut that they do is he goes into the office, he talks to his boss, and his boss is just win, but don't skite about it. And so he leaves out, and then he goes and has a party in his car and drives drunk, which, that's sad.
I guess that's why it's the 12th time, because this is just how he does shit. going home from work, better get drunk.
Yep, it's the 1990s, I can't do lines of cocaine anymore, so better just get blitzed wild in my car.
And we are to believe that this incredibly sad, he's created entirely by the
secret ice hockey trauma. But yeah, plot-wise, this movie has a lot of problems. You mentioned the speech, the characters get attached to one another.
I get that the conflicts aren't that long, but you know, the scene in the diner?
Yeah.
Where he's with the kid, his surrogate dad, he's like, you should look up. Yeah, okay. That's when that should have come up for the first time.
Not the second, yeah.
But instead, the first time that comes up is immediately after our hero has yelled at this child on the ice for refusing to throw a game.
Yeah.
And has even done the, when I tell you to do something, you do it. Iconic shitty dad line.
Yep.
And the kid has quit, and he comes to his house to apologize. But that's the conversation in which the kid is like, by the way, you and my mom, huh? Yeah. It's too soon. It's too soon, man.
So you asked the question, how long has this taken while we watched? And I did some checking. And as it so happens, in the United States in the 1990s, you were not allowed 10 episodes a day.
Oh, God. That's how you checked?
But,
okay.
Crucially, community service can only for doing specific things. You can't clock on for community service at 9 and clock off at 7 and say, I did my 10 hours, if none of that time was actually spent doing it. So if his community service is coaching this kid's hockey, that means that he can only be clocking community service when he's working the students.
Yeah.
In that situation.
I mean, that's normal. Sports coach is a couple of hours after.
Yeah, which means that he could at most get 10 hours a week, which means that
let's assume it's every week.
Yeah,
kids are incredibly serious about hockey suddenly.
Well, we know that not all of them are, but anyway, that's
extremely are not. That's why I was making fun of it.
That's part of the greater lore that comes up in the second and third movies.
Miss me with that shit.
But it
not the second.
Even if he was doing as much community service could do, you are looking at maybe 12 to 13 hours a week, which means that he's looking at something 45 weeks of this schedule. So a whole year for a sport that's played 3 months of.
Yeah, but we also don't know how close, it's not a plot point where it's you don't have to come and coach us anymore, you gotta quit. Though I was surprised if there was that plot point. Exactly the kind of happened.
And we know the movie does take place over the course of a season, because they go from having had a few games to the finals.
So a few months at the most.
Yeah.
And at that point, where is the conversation with the kid?
And they do a terrible job of conveying that gap of time.
I get there's a lot of montage. I understand that means time is passing.
Yeah, it's awkward.
But once again, this conversation, kid.
Oh yeah.
Where it first comes up happened after the game we play with.
Possibly 4 to 6 weeks after meeting. Absolutely.
And crucially, a day. It's immediately.
Yeah.
He goes and he has a pep talk with his magical German friend.
Scandinavian.
Scandinavian.
Hans says he's Scandinavian.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah. But yeah, he goes and has one night in the snow, which you said something don't do that.
Oh, just the bit where he lies down at night, in the evening, in a snowdrift without a hat or a scarf, a really heavy jacket, and his neck is all exposed. There is, fuck me.
So that's when he froze to death, and the rest of the movie is his dying dream.
You're gonna get ill.
That's just a theory.
Put on a hat, Estevez.
A duck. Anyway.
I have another duck theory. That one kid has never seen the inside of a duck's mouth.
Yeah, so the movie's plot isn't great. The movie's stakes have some weird stuff in them, like the whole conversation around Adam Banks. Like, the nicest interpretation I can imagine for we use districting laws to yank this kid out of the team where he is already doing well, yeah, and playing with the kids that his dad says he likes, though also they appear to be perfectly willing to kick the shit out of him, so they're awful.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's an established part of the rich that they are friends. So I will accept that they are not Nakama. They are lesser people who are not a team.
Less Nakama. More knock.
More. Come on.
Yeah, anyway.
But got him. That's a joke. Hilarious.
In 1992?
Just these children.
But the most charitable interpretation I can think of is that Gordon knows how shitty that coach is and is trying to get Adam away from him. So let's pretend that's the
Yeah, otherwise it's an asshole. Like, it's so clearly done to the other coach.
And they never talk to him! They never talk to Adam!
It's just this kid, and they're talking past him about who he's gonna play with.
And his solution when he joins the Ducks is, I just want to play hockey. So, like, if you'd talked to the kid, you probably would have had a better run of it.
I mean, there is a good momentary reaction. Dad says, my kid would rather not hockey losers. And they do actually have the kid be like, huh? There's this momentary like, hey, Dad!
let's not be too hasty!
But that's the closest he comes to getting a fucking opinion. It's like done and cited by adults.
Yeah, it's rough on poor Adam.
It's so bullshit.
And from there, we get to the talk of why this movie sticks out in my memory so much. Which is, it's a team of mostly distinctive characters who have distinctive personalities, or what I thought were distinctive personalities in 1992, which is to say, annoying habits.
Look, it's basic ass kid character. Like, we don't have a lot of time to flesh out any of these people, and no one is getting an arc except our adult character.
Yeah.
And that's gonna go by real quick. Blink and you'll miss that one.
But what I would, one minor detail that I would like to point out is that there are two black kids on there who are their present father, who cares about them a lot and is angry when the coach does a shitty job.
I forgot this movie are like, we only meet a couple of them. A kid from the other team has a shitty dad because that team is bad.
And he wears a Nazi coat. He looks like Colonel Clink.
Has a real, like, Third Reich look going on. Yeah, it's, that's some imagery that I don't think if they were to do this in modern times.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, you know, I'm sure it's just like, it's got a dull, proper, rich, expressive souls.
But to finish where I was going, you have two black kids, you have two girls, and you have two Jewish kids.
Honestly, two girls.
Yeah.
Or, like, usually one girl. Existence was a plot. The plot. Here is the girl. Look how weird she is. Girl. Spock.
Yeah. And if you look at all the follow-ons from this movie, because this movie started a trend, like any sport you want, there was a little kid version of there was a rehash of the Mighty Ducks with a different sport, and most of them had won the girl.
Yep.
Now, there's also a term from TV Tropes, which I think is very helpful here, which is a toy ship, which is like a ship, but
yeah,
childish for and children, dumb-sized and involves kids and everything is large and blocky, which is the relationship. But yeah, the relationship between Connie and Name. And like,
oh God, I can't remember that kid.
I know more stuff about the actor and I still don't know the actor's name. Because that so the actor who plays Fulton Reed, that actor is his older brother.
Okay. So a couple of the actors are...
Yeah, right. But they didn't want to let the people know, so they changed their names when they auditioned.
So which kid to have there? Also I can remember is that every so often, there'd be one of the guys and they'd like hold or something, but I can't remember which fucking kid it was.
I want to say his name is like Guy or Gardner or Griner or something like that, because... Like,
Grover? Is it Grover?
Maybe he's...
Apparently everyone's name is Grover.
No, apparently one person's name is Grover. But the point is that character, like, that's a toy ship. That is that little kiddie version of a romance. And it's not a complicated one, and it's not a developed one.
It's not even a romance.
No.
It's just like these two characters exist in each other's vicinity, and we're shown that there appears to be some kind of ship.
And, like, for a Disney movie aimed at 9-year-olds, I'm honestly, like, kind of okay with that. Because when you see Bombay and Charlie's mum hang out, like... Oh no, this is how these people write romance. Abort, abort, abort!
I don't didn't think their romance was terrible.
No, I just felt good awkward.
Or interesting. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I felt very awkward, but you're right. It's not terrible.
I liked the idea of like, well, I mean, the kid a divorce is often, but I did justification of like, you know, because this kid is already attached in a different role, so it would be fuck awkward to start dating and break up.
Yeah.
Because I get that. That's a real, that would be fuck awkward.
Yeah. And it's rough. It's really rough. But the rest of the thing that holds this movie together is just character design of various teammates into who can, to some extent or another, impress your own opinions. And yeah, like it's stronger in the sequel movie. Like, they clearly latched onto the idea of like, hang on, a hockey player with a gimmick is a character that we can sell very easily.
Well, the sequel's a lot more about the good laugh. Like,
yeah,
This movie is about the adult.
So much so that the movie's name in development was Bombay.
They definitely pivoted to making this more of a...
Yeah.
That turned into the right choice.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. It's just watching it again, I'm pretty embarrassed by it. Not the least of which is because there's a slur in the first 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Followed that was by...
Real quick. I was here that incredibly really
yeah.
drives.
Yep, yep.
Don't like that feeling.
And then there's an extensive sequence involving dog poo. And then... There's footage of the kids running in sped up footage to classical music.
The music.
That culminates wild. In a nut shot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
But on the other hand, as far as character design goes, I feel like I could throw the Mighty Ducks character roster at you, a character design nerd, and say, all right, hey, anime character designer, here are the outlines of the characters you draw, and you have a certain number of minutes.
Yeah.
You would be able to belt out this team in a reasonably recognizable set of shapes just because they're drawn very broadly, but there's still enough personality to hang on for a lot of those characters, even if they are like, what's your personality? I quote one particular actor from Saturday Night Live from these.
They're essentially cartoon characters.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because it's essential.
And there's a bunch of stuff about them that, like, even though it's broadly drawn, still makes sense. Like, Goldberg being a coward about being hit with pucks. That makes sense when you consider that, like, his protective equipment used to be rolls of newspaper.
Yeah. And also, look, this is fat kid talk.
Yeah.
Because I've been that guy. And, like, one of my friends suck at athletics, fat kid. Then goals is what you do. Stand in the goal and fight.
Yeah.
And it's a miserable fucking time. It's the only way you can participate in this sport without, like, dying of an asthma attack.
Yeah.
And so you do it.
And they're just generally kind of cruel to Goldberg.
Yeah, they're assholes.
There's a lot of low-key cruelty, both from the character and the world. Like, there's a lot of ha-ha, fat boy funny.
Yeah, it's fat man. And, like, I remember liking him better than the other character first, because fat kid is funny. But I'm that different if I were an adult looking at this now.
Yeah. It's always going to be to the fact that I very remember Goldberg, the subsequent two movies, and so he's always in my mind kind of a bit of a shithead.
I don't remember the next, but I have a character aside from comedy relief, and then...
Yeah. Well, there's also the tension that he presents with Joel, which is he gets to be the starting goalie because he's the resident, and she is just better at it.
Yeah.
And in the sequel, she doesn't get to do much because Goldberg is... Sorry, eating makes it sound like I'm making fun of it. Like, that feels like I'm making a fat joke. I'm really not.
Using up all goalie characters.
Yeah. It's weird how many things to say to use that, to describe that, feel like I'm making fun of him fat. And I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's eating all the airtime, or he is occupying all the space. It's like, oh, wait, no, I don't mean those that way.
Fine. Yeah.
But you have Connie, who is, by all accounts, just a nice girl who likes to play hockey.
She is so low. I forgot they had a girl on a couple of... You know, while that's slightly sad, it's also just so fucking fresh. It's just there, and no one is pointing a fucking finger at her and going, look, though!
Yeah.
That one's a girl!
And they kind of do that with Tammy with the figure skating, which is... Yeah, but... And also, they do it once. It's one trick. And, by the way, that wouldn't fucking work. It just wouldn't work. No,
well, I mean... Once again, basically a cartoon.
Yeah.
Anything they do that's like special shit.
I'm not a hockey expert, but I remember reading a 2,000 word essay explaining why the flying knee at the finale of the is just the worst kind of strategic move.
I am extremely not a hockey, but as I understand it, sport where I am to take my body, use it to just slam into another player.
Yeah.
If they are in the vicinity of the puck.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it seems to me if you all just form a V and go forward.
And the whole point is all five of us have the puck.
Yeah.
You are five targets.
Yeah, I feel like that very quickly turns into one person and a pile.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's kids hockey as well. The kids hockey is honestly really well shot. Like, when you watch kids sports movies in games, it depends on the game, obviously. Like, baseball's super easy, no matter what, because, like, the majority of baseball is hanging around waiting for baseball to happen. There, I said it, I'm sorry. But, like, for Gridiron, you've got these kids, you've got kids who are all heavily padded up, so you can, like, swap in doubles. Same thing with hockey. But in hockey, you also have to skate, and you need to be able to keep a general awareness of the presences moving around the area and the position of the puck. And, like, don't get me wrong, this is all hockey at half speed. Like, this movie is not playing fast, aggressive adult hockey, but it doesn't look like everyone's doing panto movements and exaggerating. Like, people hit the wall, and they hit the wall in a reasonable way. People slide on their bellies. People trip and fall. A puck gets almost caught at one point. There's a bunch of stuff that's just generally pretty good depictions of hockey. Anyway.
Good as much as I mean. Not at all. I mean, they didn't go, let's just have a bunch of skate well.
Yeah.
Like, they did actually attempt, on the subject of skate, breathtaking.
Oh yeah, the rollerblading sequence with Fulton.
That's fucking asshole. That put rollerblades on someone for the first time and send them down a staircase. That child is going to die. Or at least break
something. To be fair, they didn't send him down the stairs deliberately. That was an accident.
Whoa, I wonder how an accident like that could have been prevented.
One final detail. This is the only thing I've got left to say about that I generally like a lot, I'm very fond of, but also it's dumb, is the surprising incidence of the term cake eating.
I thought that was just some bullshit minced oath that they made up for the kid to say, because, you know, kids can't talk like actual kids swear, and apparently they can use the R word.
Ugh, cool. Yeah.
But talent tells me this is authentic, this is a real thing.
Yeah, I looked it up, and in Minnesota, in some part, there are rich parts of Minnesota where the people are referred to derisively as cakies, which, I gotta say, as far as local insults go, I like that. It's a lot better than our options.
It's kind of soft-edged.
It's got some Marie Antoinette vibes.
It does, yes. Minnesotans up on their French Rebellion.
Well, I mean, I want that to be Minnesota delightful. Is supposedly a place that's...
Well, could go French Revolution then.
That's our lesson. That's what we took away from... It can go either way with a French Revolution.
What I took away is that if you want to play, then play with yourself is as close as they can get to having an 11-year-old swear in a children's movie.
It was a good line.
It was great.
Like, that is the most G-rated version of fuck off.
Go fuck yourself.
Yep. Tragically, that kid that kid winds up being phased out of the story, so we don't get full arc, which is a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, we get to see no arc for anybody else.
It's true. Well, I mean, you do get to see something of an arc for Goldberg.
Actually, that's not entirely true. He does character as pertains to Roth.
Adam Banks, yeah.
Which, you know, not gonna lie, he would have been my favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a real thing-placed rich boy.
Yeah, and like, honestly, in the greater continuity, I have strong memories of Adam Banks working out really well. Like, part of the reason why he holds the team together in two, because he's the only
Does
one...
he?
He's the only one who practices during the off-season. And everyone else is just like, why are you practicing?
Oh, I fucked about for 6 months. Damn. Wait, 9 months?
It lasts a season, but that doesn't necessarily mean that winter lasts a season. I understand Minnesota is one of those places of snow and rock, like Northern Ontario.
You'll have to give us. We live in South. I mean, there literally is no snow to drive around, direct, and that is not the same as like a lake over and walk on it,
or drive a car on it,
or drive. How much? Yeah, wow, the bucket chauffeur, my favorite character.
he was pretty great.
I love that. Just he's like a fucking mute lurch character.
No, he's
kind of hanging around with this crew.
He does talk a fair bit.
He does talk a little
but
bit.
But only
to
Gordon. Like, with the kids, he's mostly just doing physical stuff in the background. And if you think of him as a large child, his interactions with them are really fun.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the sequence where he's trying to get the kid to give back candy. He's got the kid upside down and he's shaking. And like, if that's an adult actually doing that, that's bad. But if this is a Disney-fied, dumb universe, large dog in a human suit...
He's got a strong vibe, that guy.
Yes.
That is not a limo driver. That is a roadie who got picked up by a rich guy.
God.
And asked to wear a suit.
Imagine that. Emilio Estevez's roadie.
Okay, was his driver, wasn't it? I was thinking it was the old guy's driver.
No.
But a couple of fuckers went and, asked you know, his got boss. His boss to put... He could have just done this out of his own pocket.
Probably.
My mum funded the uniforms for my soccer team, 11. Shouldn't even have a job outside of, like, raising kids. Yeah, speaking of that guy.
played by Joseph Sommer. Born in Germany in 1934. That man is made of dust.
Kai, setting that.
Anyway.
Have you ever seen a more, like, just in service to the goddamn plot character? Like, at the beginning of the movie, he is, I want you to learn compassion and fairness, become a better person, to go out there and go through your personal growth arc, and I care so much about this that I will keep paying you as I stand you down from work, because, like...
For 500 hours. 500 billable hours at lawyer rates.
Right, because, you know, law firms notorious for being just grand humanitarians who care about the development of their employees.
Christ.
So, like, this guy's a fucking saint at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he is Law Santa.
And then by the time we needed a third act breakup, he will fire this guy for not giving his hockey friend what he wants.
You may have bought this jersey, but you didn't earn it!
Oh my god! Now that I will give 100% pass to, because that was so dumb. It was perfect and wonderful.
Beautiful. Chef kiss. But like, Disney idiocy.
God, the pivot on that guy. Like, I have never seen someone go, just make such wide swing from like, I am your saintly father figure to worth job. Are the children worth your job?
I mean, I've seen that, but it's in Marvel movies, and that character is also secretly some sort of serpent.
But there's a plot arc, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that guy, it's cause he's the villain or something. This guy is just, they did him to raise a bit of tension, I guess.
Yeah, so. See, the switch in the back got set to evil somehow.
Yep, that's what we just saw.
Or maybe the revelation here is that by dint of being a rich old lawyer, he was in fact always evil.
I don't know, maybe they only care about their own, like they can raise them in their own evil image.
Exactly.
Which is why you send them out to learn compassion with underprivileged children from the hood. The Minnesota hood.
The drug-free Minnesota hood.
Free Minnesota. Yep. Glad we settled that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they send them to tour farms.
This is 1992. Drugs are over.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's definitely no drugs. Definitely no drugs in Minnesota.
Nope, in Emilio Estevez, definitely not.
Hey. Not necessarily the right Estevez.
Oh, sorry, wrong Estevez. My bad.
With that, I think we've arrived at our true lesson that we got from Mighty Ducks. Eat the rich.